Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Beep, beep, beep. Good evening, everybody. So glad to have you here tonight. I appreciate you attending. Welcome to the new year. Let's see, we've got a few stragglers coming in tonight, so I'm going to give you a little bit of background about what and why I'm going to talk about a couple of things. I'll take callers pretty soon, but I'll do a little housekeeping first. Thanks. I do have some people in the chat helping me out there, and I appreciate that. Last night we had a caller who was a newcomer, and she happened to have a significant other who had a brain injury back on the 4th of July. He's been in a care facility since then, and we were talking to her a little bit about what type of treatments he was having, and she indicated that a therapist was coming in and talking to him periodically about his anger issues and emotional issues, and that there really wasn't a lot else going on, some physical therapy that he was doing that also sounded a little counterproductive to some of us. But one of the important things that came out of that conversation last night, and I won't redo that conversation, but two things, and one of the reasons why I'm doing the topic I am tonight, and that is, one, that not only are survivors of brain trauma welcome here at the show, I've learned more in the last 12 months from other survivors than I had in the last 17 years from the medical profession after I incurred my ruptured brain aneurysm. At the beginning of, this time last year, I was just releasing a book about my story surrounding my ruptured brain aneurysm. That led to an interview on an internet radio program, which ultimately led to me hosting my own program over the summer and then moving over to Brain Injury Radio Network. Now, I myself believe that coincidences are God's way of working anonymously. And so there was a reason why things happened the way that they did. Back in 1995, when I had my rupture, there weren't any support services available. The Brain Aneurysm Foundation, the Traumatic Brain Injury Association, they did not have a presence in my area. And all these years later, they still don't have a presence in my area. So there wasn't anything to help the survivor, and there wasn't any resources to help the caretakers or the loved ones that were watching, you know, their people go through this trauma, and they were going through their own brand of trauma. And the doctors are basically sewing you up, sending you back out in the world and saying that, you know, time will heal it or it won't, and not really giving any direction. So a lot of us I'll be more specific. Me, I walked around for a lot of years not even realizing that I had a traumatic brain injury from my aneurysm rupturing and bleeding into my brain for about 8 days before I had a craniotomy and spent a coma, 11 days in a coma. And during that time, damage was being created in my brain, and nobody in the medical profession told me that. I never talked to another survivor until this time last year, believe it or not, and just never really got any insight. And so when I sat there last night and heard this newcomer calling, first of all, I thought it was sad that her significant other had been in this facility since the 4th of July. Math is one of my skills that left, but that's a whole bunch of months. One of you guys can figure it out there, but that he's been sitting there and primarily just because his emotions are out of control, they gave him some kind of a level rating, frankly, that I don't understand. There's probably some listeners out in the audience that will understand it more than I do, but it's an emotional, a rating that indicated that he had problems with his emotions, and that's why they're keeping him in that facility, as well as with the physical therapy. But still, the only treatment, not really an organized treatment to help with that emotion regulation, but periodic visits from a psychiatrist to point out that the emotions are out of control. Now, I don't know about you, but in the beginning of my recovery, I might have taken me a minute to catch on, but it didn't take me all that long to figure out that my emotions were out of control, at least in comparison to how they were before. I would be quicker to anger. I would be quicker to, depending on when you caught me, I might either be laughing or crying at inappropriate times. Sometimes, you know, I don't think before that, it's not that I was heartless, I was just more controlled. I don't think I had ever gone to a movie and cried, or I really wasn't that kind of a person, yet suddenly, you know, I was crying at the darndest things at the strangest times, and that can cause some problems in the workplace and have people around you kind of think that you're a little nuts. I remember, too, with what I now know was PTSD, but I didn't know at the time that's what it was. I remember going through a salad bar with my family at a restaurant, and you know, all those canisters in the salad bar with all the ingredients, and in my peripheral vision, I caught a pea, you know, the small round green pea, rolling out. Somebody was trying to scoop some up, and one of the peas fell off of the scoop and started rolling, and I screamed. I jerked and screamed as if that was the most terrifying thing on earth. And of course, everybody at the salad bar was kind of looking at me, and I felt like a goat, a sheep, whatever that old saying is, for overreacting to what the situation warranted. And so it didn't take me many of those awkward, embarrassing circumstances to understand that something happened in back of the physical part of that brain injury that caused me to have a different way of dealing with things emotionally, and that, in fact, sometimes I was really powerless over my emotions, and it was making my life a little bit unmanageable because I couldn't explain it away, and there was nobody there to validate or to affirm that this was normal for somebody with a brain injury. And so, like a lot of things in my life, there wasn't any specific, and of course in 95, computers weren't on everyone's desk like they are now. Nobody had ever heard of go Google it, you know, looking up that sort of thing. And I wasn't reading a lot back in those early days. I was having problems with my vision, which I still do quite a bit. But in the beginning back then, I was also having vertigo and some other issues that made me not read a lot. I also wanted to deny, I really didn't want to dive into the textbooks and find out exactly what happened to me because I was scared to death. I just wanted to get well. I just wanted to get well, frankly, and have things go back to the way they were before. At least that's how I felt in the beginning. And then a lot of things happened for me, as they typically do. Since there wasn't anything specific in our area that helped people with brain injuries, I had been involved in a support program, a 12-step group, for about 7 years at the point that I had my brain aneurysm. I thank God for that because I already had a group of support people in place. Did we talk about my brain aneurysm or the changes in my brain or the way I behaved after? No, that wasn't the topic of discussion. But there were people who had known me for a long time, who had seen me several days a week, who noticed these changes and were sympathetic. It was also a spiritual program of recovery, so I already had a relationship with a higher power, and I knew if I was to survive this situation that I was going to have to be on my knees and dial in direct every day to that higher power to get the strength and courage I needed to deal with this trauma that came to me out of the blue at age 35 at the peak of my life, physically, emotionally, and every other way. My 30s had been a really good time for me. I had a lot of good things going on, and boom, in a flash, as the book says, my life changed forever that day, January 9th of 1995. And I mentioned on a show the other night that I get a little, a little anxiety around this time of year. The snow in the Midwest certainly has something to do with that. I don't like... I like it from the inside. I don't like driving on it. Don't like the cold weather. It exacerbates chronic pain conditions I've got. But memories also come back. A lot of memories of 1995 and how it was that day when I got up that morning expecting it to be like any other day. And it wasn't. And that was the day that I understood that none of us have any guarantees. There's just no guarantees, so every day is a gift. I read on a post tonight in one of the, I don't know if it was the aneurysm or TBI Facebook page. I have a lot of people that have joined me to pages, and I read the posts, and there was a fellow that had his incident, we'll call it, 3 months ago, and he made a comment that he was being punished by God, and that he was, well, he didn't say he was angry, but it was pretty understood, I guess, that he was angry from what he was saying. And he thought that the suffering and that the aneurysm or the AVM, whatever it was that this particular gentleman had, that it was some kind of a punishment. Now, I don't know. I won't get into a theological discussion tonight. I see we've got more people that have joined us, so I will get into our topic. I was doing a little housekeeping first to give some of you time to catch up. But to me, where I was when I had my rupture due to the fact that I had this relationship with a higher power for 7 years prior, is I didn't feel like my aneurysm was God punishing me. I feel like stuff happens. Wars happen. Illnesses happen. Bad things in relationships happen. Life's not fair. People don't act right. Some things are environmental, genetic. I don't think God causes those things. I think people cause those things, and God helps us get through those things. And that's just a personal, I'm not a preacher, I'm not selling any kind of agenda to anybody. That's just my own personal feeling, and it's helped me through my recovery to feel like I'm not alone. And it's because I have that relationship. One of the things that I found out early in my recovery is that I'll I quit on myself from time to time. I get so frustrated when I forget that I can't always do things just the way that I did them before, and it gets me angry and I want to quit. I must have quit 4 times when I was writing my book, and for various reasons I won't go into, I quit. I was done. Les Paul and a couple of the other hosts know that I was having a lot of trouble with Skype and Blog Talk Radio for about a month. It was relentless, and I was about ready to quit. I get in a place where emotionally I'm just kind of wigging out, and I just want to quit and go, I don't know, hold my breath till I turn blue or something. But in any case, and I will pick up my caller in just one moment, if you can be patient for just a second. The reason why I wanted to talk about the topic tonight is, again, last night it discouraged me that all these years later, someone was being the formal treatment plan for this particular person's emotional upheaval, we'll call it, or emotional change that his significant other was talking about, was periodic visits from a psychologist. And I mentioned last night, and then I thought I'd go ahead and talk about it a little bit tonight, that I'd like to see a more organized, ongoing recovery plan for people who have had traumatic brain injuries. And there's a lot of possibilities, and this show is called Recovery Now, so I talk about a lot of possibilities on the show. But tonight I'm going to talk about DBT, which is dialectic behavior therapy. A gal named Marcia Linehan was a behavioral psychologist researcher at the University of Washington, and she developed this dialectic behavior therapy for individuals who are emotionally vulnerable. These are individuals whose automatic nervous system reacts excessively to relatively low levels of stress and takes longer than normal to return to baseline once the stress is removed. Initially used to treat individuals with borderline personality disorder, this program is now expanded into many other areas of treatment, such as a much broader spectrum of mood disorders, including PTSD, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, and self-harming behaviors, chemical dependency, and sexual abuse survivors, among several other applications. Now, in my opinion, TBI treatment would be another excellent application for this program of recovery in conjunction with any others that people need. And tonight we're going to discuss the fundamentals of DBT and how you can apply the tools to better your life. And I will take questions in just a couple of minutes, but what I will tell you is real quick what DBT is. DBT is a 4-module program, and the larger umbrella is called skills training. And within the skills training, there are 4 modules. One is called core mindfulness. The second is distress tolerance. The third is interpersonal effectiveness. And the fourth is emotion regulation. Now, when Marcia created this program, again, it was initially developed to help people with borderline personality disorder. A lot of those people were children who grew up in invalidating environments, or a place where they were told that their thoughts, ideas, opinions didn't matter. They weren't important. They were easily dismissed, and these people develop through the nature and the nurture, let's say, later on developed the borderline personality disorder, and Marcia, being a behavioral psychologist, came up with this program. But when I was thinking about that in terms of TBI, I've been around here as a guest and as a host for a while now, And one of the things that I've noticed people say time and time and time and time and time and time again, I've said it myself, and I heard that newcomer, loved one of a survivor last night say that we feel like we haven't been validated, that a lot of people who have brain injuries or have had a TBI, an aneurysm, an AVM, some kind of brain trauma, that a lot of times we look normal, but the way that our mind processes is different than it was before. And so a lot of times people think we're faking, they think we're lazy, they think we're not listening. We were talking about the holidays and how sometimes that's hard if you're in a place where there's six different conversations going on. You can't really track with any one of them. So it just sounds like blah, 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 or that static that you used to hear late at night when the TVs went off back when there was only three channels and it ended at midnight and you heard that icky sound all night. So I think a lot of us, after having traumatic brain injuries, felt like we were in an invalidating environment, just like these children for which this program of recovery was designed for. The core mindfulness module has a lot to do with Buddhist meditative practices. And we've talked about mindfulness on the show before, and we'll talk a little bit about that again tonight. Distress tolerance, that's how we handle things, how we handle distress. And, you know, basically like the pea rolling off the salad bar, instead of hitting the deck and screaming and you know, going into tears and running out of the restaurant, I tried to take a breath and say, I guess I'm a little edgy. I kind of tried to punt it off as a joke and took a breath and tried to pull myself together. So the core mindfulness module teaches you how to be mindful. The distress tolerance module gives you ways to help you, just like it says, to help you tolerate distress better. The third, interpersonal effectiveness, is how we relate to others. And I've also heard a lot of the survivors, and last night, our newcomer, our loved one, talking about how our personalities seem to change a little bit to us and to those around us than they were before, especially initially, like the guy I was telling you about from one of the Facebook boards tonight who's only 3 months out. He is angry. He is feeling like, apparently, like he deserved punishment and that he's getting it. And a lot of negative feelings going on in the beginning. And I know that I had some of those feelings too. But when you're negative all the time and you become not this guy, he's only 3 months out. I'm not talking about this guy, but I'm saying that if we let things go unchecked for too long and we don't have some kind of an ongoing recovery system, support system, then many of us wind up burning an awful lot of relationships for a long time, or we just practice avoidance and don't have them. We just do our life from the sidelines. But for those of us who jump in and try to have the interpersonal relationships, and again, that's whether it's an intimate relationship or a work relationship or, you know, with a friend, whatever it is, just any interpersonal relationship, we've been known to behave poorly, to get angry a little quicker than others, to be defensive, to be a little self-centered, like somebody's talking about us, but they're really maybe talking about something in general, but we internalize and take things personally and then get defensive and angry. And, you know, this poor gal last night had been dating this guy for a couple of years and was used to him treating her a certain way, responding to her a certain way, physically and verbally, and those things changed. And now he was angry. and it was hard. It was very difficult for her. So last night, Sarah, who is in the chat room, and Les Paul, Keith Anthony, fellow hosts on this program, were visiting with her, and we were stressing the importance not only of the survivor getting this ongoing help, but also the caregivers or the loved ones, because they've gone through a brand of trauma of their own. No, they haven't been in our shoes. They don't know how we are feeling, how it's different inside our head, what it's like to live in our new skin. They don't know that, but they do know their story, and they all have one. You know, because you can't watch us go through what we went through if you love us and are part of our life on a regular basis and not be affected. So I think interpersonal effectiveness, you know, in her case, one of the reasons why I was really encouraging her to get some support was because, you know, now she loves this person, she wants to be supportive of this person, but eventually, if you keep getting treated like crap and you're not a little off yourself, you're going to leave for whatever the reason. You're going to leave. And so at some level, there has got to be some accountability where a person admits, you know, they accept and admit that they have a problem and they take steps or action to try to correct it, which is not to say anything's going to go back to perfect or anything is going to be completely changed, but we're always going to be striving for balance and for progress, not perfection. And so, you know, if somebody is mean to you, you know, if they shove you in the playground long enough, you know, one day you're going to stand up and shove right back, and then we're on. You know, there's trouble. You know, the pushing either goes on until both people are totally exhausted or it's away. And so I think for both parties, a program like this DBT or other types of recovery programs we'll talk about both on this show and on the shows the other six nights a week will help people, because you pick and choose. One of the things they say in one of the programs I'm in is that you take what you like and leave the rest. Well, that doesn't always mean you just take what's easiest and most convenient, because unfortunately, I have not found a magic bullet that boom, instantly just takes care of all of the residuals that came with my illness. It's all been a process, not an event, something that takes a lot of commitment and time and dedication, and where I can't quit like I felt like. Earlier I said I felt like quitting a number of times. But what I really know about myself is that that's not an option, because if I quit on the little things, if I allow myself to quit on the little things over and over and over, there'll come a time when I'll want to quit on the big thing. And that would be totally counterproductive, since I did almost lose my life. But God kept me here, I believe, for a reason, and this might be part of it. So I don't quit. I need to be committed. And the fourth, is emotion regulation. And again, I think you see how all four of these modules tie into each other and dovetail with each other. But emotion regulation is simply how we regulate our emotions appropriately. And I've got a couple callers on the board. I'm going to go ahead and let them on, and then we'll go back to discussing some of the particulars. But the DBT program, and I'm sorry, caller, I keep saying that. Just be patient. One more minute, and let me shuffle through a paper. I'm going to read you something real quick, and then we'll have even more of a basis of discussion. But dialectic behavior therapy is about learning tools and skills to empower you to be as effective as you can be in your life. These tools and skills can be used nearly every day in most situations and in a variety of relationships. What are dialectics? Dialectics are the art of holding two or more things in balance that are in conflict, contrary, or mismatched, and yet they are both real or true. It is about synthesizing things that seem to be in opposition. Dialectics are the kernel of truth in each person's perspective in an argument or dialogue. Dialectics are all the ironies and paradoxes in life. Being dialectical is about balancing competing needs. Below are some dialectics you can benefit from keeping in balance. Wants and needs, feelings and thoughts, problems and solutions, contemplation and action, recreation and responsibilities, being right and making mistakes, self-interest and interest in others, skill enhancement and self-acceptance, doing things alone, and being able to ask for help. As you can see, all of those things are opposites, but they're things that we experience at the same time. So, like Craig was talking about on New Year's, he wants to work on balance this year. And any of us who have gone through some kind of a trauma, a brain trauma, I believe need to have some fashion of ongoing program to help keep us in check. Because otherwise, those behaviors, when we go to embrace the new me, and the new me has some impulse control or some emotion regulation issues, if we go unchecked, then what we wind up with is lonely, because if we're not willing to be, HOW is an acronym I use a lot, honest, open-minded, and willing. If we're not willing to listen to people tell us how these changes are affecting our relationship with them, and if we're not able to look at ourselves honestly and be able to own that, then we'll continue these behaviors and won't even realize that we're doing it, because they've just kind of become a part of us now, a part of this change, and we want to polish off the rough edges and try to be the best me we can be. So I've talked for a half hour now. I think I'll give someone else a chance and then we'll skip back. I haven't obviously been paying attention to the chat room, so I'm knowing that you hosts and regular guests are doing a good job out there. And area code 801, you're finally with us. Thank you for your patience.
Hi, Kim. It's Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Can you understand me okay?
I can.
You can understand me. My husband's here, too.
Good.
In case you have trouble understanding me, he's here, too.
Well, good. I'm so happy. To the folks in the audience, Laura dropped me an email and wanted to know some more about the show. And so tonight she's calling in for the first time, and we all want to welcome her. And I appreciate you writing me today. I hope that you and your husband both will enjoy and benefit from the show. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened to you, and then we'll go back to the topic, but let everybody know who you are.
Okay. In 2005, I had an AVM, having an osteopathic lobe.
Gotcha. We've got another radio host, as a matter of fact, here, James Larkin Smith. He's not on Brain Injury Radio, although I'm hoping he's going to be my frequent guest, but he has his own radio show called The Morning Coffee Mix, and he also had an AVM.
Wow. What do you have? Does he have to take me to the kitchen? I don't think I'm hitting. No medication at all.
Oh, yes, that's less.
I get
I guess we've had a couple people that have had an AVM. I can't keep track of Les Paul. He's had an aneurysm and a traumatic brain injury. I didn't realize he had had an AVM, too. So we've got a little bit of...
AVM is a traumatic brain injury because my record, my blood, and most of the time it kills people.
Exactly.
That's why you don't hear about them, because most of the time people die from them.
Right.
But I do not.
Well, I had a rupture also, so I understand. Back in the time when I had mine, only 3% of the people who had what I had lived. I'm not sure what...
Where did you have yours at?
I had a ruptured brain aneurysm.
But where was it in your brain? What part of your brain was it in?
Well, it was in my middle cerebral artery, but it was the front temporal lobe, and then it was bleeding.
It looks like it's in your frontal lobe.
Yes. Yes, and then it bled.
You're very lucky.
Yes, I'm truly, truly blessed, that's for sure, because it went on to bleed for about a week while they had me on ice, hoping that the swelling would go down so that when they did do the craniotomy, they'd have a better chance of giving me a quality of life because the swelling had gotten so bad. And so, yes, we're very lucky.
You are extremely rare lucky. Do you take any medication at all? Do you?
Well, I still have problems from it. I have problems with my memory and something that I call full basket syndrome. When I've got too many issues, emotional issues or new things that I have to learn coming my way, I get confused and kind of shut down. I get a lot of anxiety and emotional and sensory overload. You know, sometimes I think everybody has feelings, but I feel them more intensely sometimes, like I was reading in that DBT stuff, you know, over intensely sometimes for what a situation warrants, or am not able to control my feelings very well sometimes, and I have a terrible problem with my memory and forgetting, and I don't remember if that was the first thing I said in this list I just gave you or if I forgot to say it in the beginning. It seems to be a lot of the things I've got going on, it seems like a lot of people out in the audience have going on too. The only difference is that I just didn't know, because until I wrote my book at the beginning of the year, I had never met anyone else ever who had survived any kind of a brain trauma.
Me too. And I'm also on the hyper. And I'm even more happy now. And I thought that that was because that's who I am. But I'm thinking now that it was because of my aneurysm that I'm getting even more happier than I was before. I am very happy.
Well, that's... It's always a challenge. I'm really glad that you called in to the show, though, tonight. We have a show on 7 nights a week. This is that you gave me a good opportunity for a brief commercial message. We are on 7 nights a week. We have seven different hosts, 7 nights a week, same time every night, 7 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern, and we would like
there now.
Well, where I am,
what time is it?
I am in the Midwest. I'm in the Central time zone, so it's about 20 minutes till 10 where I am. But we have people all over the world listening to the program.
Oh, serious? I'm in Utah, and it's only 29 now.
Ah, well, you know, we've even got a host and a couple of friends of the program that are regular listeners that are from England, and it's something like 3:30 in the morning. They actually get up. Now, you couldn't get me up to listen to a radio program or anything else at that hour of the morning, but we've got some real loyal listeners and fellow hosts that get up that early and come and listen, and I just thank God that I'm a night owl and not so much a morning person, so this works out good for me, but I wouldn't want to be doing it at 3:30 in the morning, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure. But how can I find one? I've got that link that you sent me, but how can I find it on the web?
Well, if you Google at all, I'll tell you the easiest way I know how to do it. Other people know other ways, but if you just go to Google or whatever search engine you use,
yeah,
and you put in blog, B-L-O-G, blog talk,
yeah,
radio.
Yeah.
If you put in blog talk radio and you go onto their site, there's a little search window in the upper right-hand corner, and you just type in Brain Injury Radio.
That's cool. Does Google have like a chat room, right?
It'd
be a lot easier for me to chat than to be on the phone.
Yeah, you should come in the chat room, and that's how you would do it. Now, I wish one thing you can do. Are we friends on Facebook?
No, but we will be.
Yeah, we will be.
I'll do that right now. I'll start to hang up. I'll do that.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Your last name.
Well, hang on. I have to. Actually, I'll send you an invite. But let's see. On Facebook, you guys in the audience there, is she able to go to Brain Injury Radio on the Facebook page? Do you guys know? I'm trying to find her a place that I've posted a link she might be able to go to. Do you use Facebook at all?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Go to Facebook and type in Brain Injury Radio.
Okay, let me put it on speakerphone. I'm putting it on speakerphone.
It's Brain Injury Radio Network. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. There's a couple ways to get on there. If you do find that page, Brain Injury Radio Network on Facebook, you'll see where I posted a link to the show, and all you have to do is click on that, and it will take you right to the program notes that will show you the phone number, which you obviously have. You called it, but it'll also show you a chat room. Although I will say, you know, the best way for you to do this... You found it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You click on the link?
Yeah, love it in English.
Okay. When you click on the link and you scan down to the bottom, you'll see there's a chat room going on. But what I will tell you is that in order for you to be able to chat too, you can watch the chat room this way, but I think, and they'll correct me if I'm wrong out in the audience, but I believe the only way that you can participate in the chat and be able to type back to people is if you go back to that Blog Talk Radio, and you have to get an account with them, a username and a password, so that you can log in to Blog Talk Radio and
okay,
then access our show that way. And that'll enable you to participate in the chat room. And I hope that you do that. And if you have any problem doing it, I got a couple other callers, so I'm going to have to put you on mute for a couple of minutes. But make sure to get back with me tomorrow if you have trouble doing that, and we can talk about it.
Oh, girl, I can play here tonight. Oh, boy, I love being here.
Well, and we love having you be here, so I hope you'll come back and hear some of the others as well, and that you and your husband will take away some good information and make sure you've got my email. We'll friend each other on Facebook tomorrow, and so you'll always be able to find the link, the link to get to the show. But again, go to
Recovering Now with Kim Justice.
Yep, that's me. But you gotta. But I want you to be able to participate in the chat room, and so make sure to go to Blog Talk Radio and get yourself a username and password, and once you have that, then you'll be able to log in to Blog Talk Radio and then type in Brain Injury Radio, and you'll be able to come right in and also type in the chat room. Now, I did want to tell you, you got messages from at least two people from the chat room, and Jennifer, who's one of our prized regular guests on the show, she wanted me to thank you for calling in and to say that you have blessings from all of us. And
James, this is sweet.
James, our other AVM contestant out in the audience. Yeah, I wanted to do that because his comment a couple of times has been that your laugh is contagious, and I think so too. So make sure to keep calling because we enjoy your laugh. We also enjoy your company and your participation in the show.
Oh, you bet.
All right. Well, you stay in touch with me, and I'll bring you back on. I'm gonna mute your mic for a few minutes. Maybe you can find. We're gonna be on the show quite a bit longer, so maybe you and your husband can go to that Blog Talk Radio site, set yourself up a username and password, and then just type on. There's a little thing on Blog Talk Radio that says live programs. That means the ones that are on right now. You just type in Brain Injury Radio, and you'll be able to see this chat yourself and hopefully participate.
Oh, it's going to be on another hour.
Yeah, another hour.
Okay.
Okay, well, see what you can do, and I'm going to mute your mic for a while, but I may be back.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Laura. And her husband. So that's great. I'm really excited. Laura wrote, as I said, Laura wrote me an email this morning and wanted to know a little bit about the show. I was in kind of a hurry. We had a brief dialogue, but I'm so glad she was able to find us tonight. She and her husband have some teamwork going on there, and she was worried about maybe us not being able to understand her, but I think you did a really good job, Laura. I didn't have any trouble understanding you at all, which is not to say that we wouldn't love to talk to your husband sometime, too. Okay. So I forget where I was, but we were talking about, and I've got a couple other callers who do not have their hand up right now. So if you want to talk to me, press 1, like Laura figured out how to do. And if you don't, keep listening. And when I'm begging for callers, I'm either going to be unmuting Laura or some of you guys are going to have to put your hand up. But I'm going to tell you a little bit, just briefly, about the four modules of dialectic behavior therapy. The essential part of all skills taught in skills group are the core mindfulness skills. Observe, describe, and participate are the core mindfulness what skills. They answer the question, what do I do to practice core mindfulness skills? So you observe, you describe, and you participate. I know Jennifer says sometimes that we want to stay where our hands are, meaning that a lot of times we can get our minds going 100 miles an hour, have a lot of scattered thoughts going on in our brain. And one of the ways that we stay in the moment is to stay where our hands are. If we're washing the dishes, we focus intently on washing the dishes. If we're making the bed, doing the laundry, you know, watching the dogs play, we try to just focus on that one thing. And one way that we can do that is to describe it and participate. So we observe, describe, and participate non-judgmentally, one-mindfully, and effectively are the how skills, and answer the question, how do I practice core mindfulness skills? So we know the what and the how of practicing core mindfulness skills. And mindfulness is also the place where you'll find meditation. We've talked about that on the program before. Different people have different levels of success at meditating. Some of us, our minds are just too busy to ever get that quiet. And so one of our hosts, he's on every other Saturday night, Keith Anthony, he does self-hypnosis. And that's a way through his guided imagery, is I guess what I call it, is one way to get in touch with some mindfulness. And that's, if you can't do it on your own, to follow someone else's voice who's leading you on a journey through guided imagery or the practice of self-hypnosis. So not only our host, you can listen all of these programs, by the way, for those of you who are new, all are archived immediately after the show and can be replayed. So you can go back to some of Keith Anthony's shows and listen. He's probably sleeping, Sarah. He was up too late last night. She was asking where Keith Anthony is, and he's our host from England. And so he's one of them where it's 3:30 or 4:30 or some ungodly hour of the morning. And yes, he is in the middle of a fast. He started a 40-day fast on the 1st. It's his second fast like that. I can't figure it out. I like to eat too much, but I suppose he's about as detoxed as a guy can get. He must have about a 10-year-old's body by now. Every icky thing in him has got to be long gone at this point. So I admire his dedication to that. But anyway, back to mindfulness. Somebody like Keith Anthony can help with the mindfulness exercise. Another one that I liked, I'm not doing it right now, admittedly, is that yoga. I was really big into yoga for a while, actually a number of years. And then I did what happens to a lot of us. It takes so long to condition anything, your body, your mind, your spirituality, but it doesn't take long at all to lose it. And yes, Sarah made it. Sarah joined the gym. She's actually going. She's not in that huge percentage. What did I say? 65% last night that buy a gym membership as a New Year's resolution and they never make it. And by the middle of February, attendance is the same as it was before in the gym. Sarah's actually doing the deal and doing yoga as well. And actually, Sarah, the YMCA is where I was doing yoga when I was doing it for about 3 years. And that was a place where I was also able to practice mindfulness. Yoga is kind of an all-purpose. It tones every part of your body. One of the reasons why I love yoga is that it's gentle. It's not competitive, and you don't have to do 59 machines. You do an hour of yoga, and it works out every part of your body, including your mind. There's a large focus in yoga on breathing. And I know that one of the things I'm guilty of is not breathing. I talk a lot, so I don't take a lot of time to breathe in between. But no, actually, with the anxiety and the PTSD, I think healthful breathing is something that a lot of us could use some work on. But mindfulness is a place where you work on your breath, slow, long intake and outtake of breath. That helps you clear your mind And so the yoga I found very helpful. So whether it's guided imagery, yoga, another thing that I found helpful, and I talked about this once, and I have done this to help me slow down my mind. I'm pretty good at practicing mindfulness as far as staying where my hands are. But one of the things that helps me clear my mind when I'm trying to get that little rat trap to stop is taking a candle and lighting it and looking at the part that's just above the wick that's blue. Not the flame part up top, but the blue part just above the wick. And if you stare at that long enough, when you first light that candle and start looking at it, you're aware of your surroundings, and in your peripheral you can see everything that's around you. But as you continue to gaze, you don't want to strain your eyes or strain your head or any of that kind of stuff, but you want to gaze with intent at the blue area at the top of the wick, just below where the flame starts, is how I was taught to do it. Eventually, the room around you turns black. You don't see anything else. There's no other awareness except exactly what you're looking at. And yes, Jennifer, focus. And that helps focus. When you focus on the candle and the rest of the room starts to fade out, so does a lot of the static in your brain. And that is another method I've used to try to get to mindfulness, is to not only maybe use the help of others at times, whether it's through a class or self-hypnosis, or to do the old candle trick, or sometimes, James Larkin Smith says it's called color spatulation. Okay, well, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word again, but there's a name for that practice, which I've been doing. Thank you, James. I didn't know that's what I've been doing, but it works darn good, by golly. Thank you for that. I hope I didn't butcher that pronunciation too bad. God, now I can't say the word pronunciation. In any case, I found that to be very helpful, the old candle trick. So certainly that's something for you to try. Now we got several callers, so I'm going to go maybe I'll take them and we'll talk about mindfulness, and then I'll get to the other three modules, and we'll do it so that nobody forgets where they are. Area code 803, you are on the air.
Hello, how are you doing, Mrs. Kim Jefferson? I'm getting your name wrong. Justice is what I meant to say. Kim Justice, tonight.
I'm doing good tonight. I was, our guest last night got me motivated to pull out some old material that
I hear that.
Use, yes.
You've been doing your homework, haven't you? I can tell.
been doing my homework.
I'm just playing with you, how you're studying up and just getting everything, all your ducks in a row. You're doing an excellent show tonight is what I basically meant. I didn't mean it bad. I meant it good.
Thank you. I do want to say to Keith Anthony, I scheduled the show for 90 minutes tonight, and then we do have overtime. But thank you, Keith Anthony, for reminding me, because you know me, I always do the show for an hour. But with the four modules and the homework I did, I figured I'd give it 90 tonight. So we do have another half hour of live time.
Okay.
And then for any of you out there who are new to the show, the live listeners, and we'll give you warning, I'll end the show the way we normally do, but a lot of us hosts have something we call overtime, and that's where we continue for up to an hour after the show ends. Everything is still recorded, but it's not live on the air anymore. You do hear it in the archive, and we'll worry about that in a half hour. Hopefully, we'll be able to get through the four modules, and then we can talk about whatever you want in overtime or listen to a few tunes or whatever. So, okay, back to you. Les Paul, and by the way, Les Paul is our Tuesday night host, so be sure to tune in and listen to him.
Well, thank you, Kim. I was listening to what you were saying about mindfulness, and it brought to me Walton Rehabilitation Hospital, and I've gone there, and I've taken some I've had some therapists teach me some things about mindfulness and a lot of different things. That they have a behavioral medicine department there, and the director, his name is Jeremy Hertz, and he's just a wonderful leader of that group of physicians, and it's helped so many people that I know in our support group. It's just unbelievable how the mindfulness, learning how to take care of yourself and think in a different way, how you can take care of yourself better.
Right. I think it helps calm us, and a lot of times I think, from what I've experienced myself and what I've heard, a lot of us suffer with PTSD, anxiety, or we just get jazzed. You know, we can get jazzed pretty easily, and practicing mindfulness, which includes, you know, the breath and quieting our mind and all of that, is one of those tools that I think everyone can use, but particularly people who have had, you know, brain injuries, since we seem to have, a lot of us anyway, seem to have some challenges emotionally or with anxiety, and mindfulness can help bring us back to center.
That's right. It'll help you refocus and find that inner peace that you're looking for, hopefully. I know in the past few years I've learned so much, especially since finding Brain Injury Radio. It's like medicine fell from the sky when we found Brain Injury Radio. And where I live, I know I talk about all these different places, like I was just talking about Walton Rehabilitation Hospital. They've got some really cool programs there. And that Dr. Hertz I was just talking about, he's involved with the Brain Injury Association of Georgia and South Carolina. And so he wants to see a lot of these things we're talking about. He's interested in knowing more about what we're talking about. And so we're getting communications going all around us that are leading straight to people like the lady that called in as an aneurysm survivor tonight. It's nice to meet someone else who lived through an aneurysm, because I was telling you I had an AVM a while ago. I don't know if I've ever explained that. I've had an atrial venous malformation, that's how you pronounce it.
That's actually what Laura had too, by the way, not an aneurysm.
Okay.
I had the aneurysm. She had the AVM.
Okay. Well, my AVM led to my aneurysms.
Oh.
So I was born with one. They said it was from birth. They said it's been in my life and my brain all of my life. First 22 years didn't know anything was wrong, and that's when it ruptured. When I was 22 years old, and it was like a bomb went off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so deep embedded in my brain that they couldn't remove all of it. They said it would have killed me. And so they literally had to wait till the newest technology came out when I had my second operation. And that's why I had two separate aneurysms, because they couldn't complete it. And they said they thought it would maybe make it through my whole life, but they didn't know for sure, and it made it 10 years.
Wow.
I'm just blessed that they were able to remove it on the second operation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, if you don't mind, I'll go on. Go on to number two. Now Keith Anthony made me aware of time, so I do at least want to get through the four modules of DBT. And I'm hoping, you know, with what you were saying, Les, if they're into the behavior, it was a behavioral therapist from Washington who created DBT, and I'm hoping that more and more facilities like where you work and places like where the lady's significant other was last night, that they will consider using ongoing programs like this to help people acclimate into their new life, and then to continue to stabilize them, you know, to use as a maintenance program. When I first got involved with this, I went for 3 years to a program that involved both group and individual training therapy, and I found it very helpful. It was what I needed at the time. I was being challenged, as some of us are. You know, we have different times that bring us to our knees in life. And, you know, at times like that, you quit or you ask for help, you know. And I went crawling into the YWCA, is where I happened to find this, the YW on this one. And they were doing a program for people who had experienced sexual assault or domestic abuse. And, you know, one of the things when I was reading earlier, whether it's chemical dependency, mood disorders, sexual abuse, domestic violence, TBIs, you know, trauma and anxiety are common threads that are woven through all of those things. And that's why I think that this program, these four modules, are particularly germane to people with TBIs, and I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But number two, and I'm going to let you other callers on, I'm going to whip through a couple things real quick, and then we'll spend the rest of the time and into the overtime with your calls. But for those interested in the DBT, I do just want to get through the four modules real quick. There's only about a paragraph on each, and then we'll talk about it. Number two is interpersonal effectiveness. Interpersonal response patterns taught in DBT skills training are very similar to those taught in many assertiveness and interpersonal problem-solving classes. They include effective strategies for asking for what one needs, saying no, and coping with interpersonal conflict. Borderline individuals frequently possessed good interpersonal skills in a general sense. The problems arise in the application of these skills to specific situations. An individual may be able to describe effective behavioral sequences when discussing another person encountering a problematic situation, but may be completely incapable of generating or carrying out a similar behavioral sequence when analyzing her own situation. Boy, I know that's true of me. This module focuses on situations where the objective is to change something, i.e. requesting someone doing something, or to resist changes someone else is trying to make, like saying no. The skills taught are intended to maximize the chances that a person's goals in a specific situation will be met, while at the same time not damaging either the relationship or the person's self-respect. And this is one of the things I was talking about earlier, is that, you know, I'm not sure at what point you logged in, Les Paul, but we, our newcomer last night, obviously really loved her significant other, but was stung and hurt and trying to understand, you know, the change in the way that he was reacting to her. And that was one of the reasons I was really pushing her getting some support too, because I said, you know, you could be Mother Teresa, but if you get pushed hard enough times and you don't have support yourself, you're going to push back, which just is like two pit bulls in a ring. That's not a relationship you want to be in. Or they're going to be gone. You know, they're going to be gone. They're just going to leave. And so, you know, one of the objectives we want to do in this interpersonal effectiveness is be able to, you know, one of the problems that I've had in my life, and I don't even know, maybe even before the TBI, I don't know, but was either not asking for what I needed and having internal combustion go up, resentment, you know, anger, bitterness, things that I wasn't voicing for whatever reason, felt intimidated or whatever the reason would be. But I felt it very real, and more logs would go on the fire the longer I wouldn't talk about it. And so a lot of times I abruptly left relationships and people were going, what the heck happened? You know, I thought we were having a great relationship. Well, I never communicated my needs and the fact that in my mind we weren't having a great relationship. It stunk for me. And I couldn't communicate that, or wouldn't communicate that. Or I'd go to the other end of the spectrum, and that's be too honest. In one of the programs I'm involved in, it says that we make amends except when to do so would injure them or others. And what that means is we want to be honest with people about the things that upset us. But we don't want to do it in a way. Delivery is so important, you know, so important. Because if we wait until we're really frustrated, like I was talking about, till more and more logs go on the fire, then when we pop like a full balloon, we're going to splatter some pretty ugly stuff on the people around us. And they're going to miss the point of what we were trying to say in the first place, what we were expressing, because all they're going to see is that we're an idiot. And the point we were trying to make is completely lost in our inappropriate, extreme behavior. And so what we're trying to do is salvage our own self-respect and the relationships that are important to us and still get our needs met. Now, that's a huge module, and why I was around more than 4 weeks for four modules. And yes, Sarah, apologizing promptly. Now, I want to bring something up about that. Somebody in the audience said she always goes back and apologizes if she does. And I want to bring it back one more time, because we'll play a song later. Les Paul's going to forever know about my contractor, and so are a lot of you that listen to the show. One of the things I said to them, and they're just a really good example, is I was getting my bathroom remodeled. They were telling me what time they were going to come each day, and they were always, always an hour or two late or more, and they didn't call. I would be up, be ready. I can be kind of anal sometimes, you know, and I'm waiting. I'm not somebody who's late as a rule. That's not one of my things. And so I have little tolerance for it. Well, every day they apologized and gave me some BS reason why they were late. Now, why do I say some BS reason? Because it was every day. And to me, the word apology or I'm sorry is worthless unless you change the behavior. Because what it told me when somebody apologized every day for the exact same behavior, and I told them, is no, you're not sorry, or you wouldn't do that anymore. You know, the way a person in my world shows me that they're sorry is it's nice to hear the words, but you put your money where your mouth is and you don't do the behavior anymore. Otherwise, you're truly not sorry. You just want to get off the hook for today, you know. And so this isn't fooling me. Make it on time and we won't go on. But in any case, in that situation, I wasn't worried about damaging the relationship. obviously. And I'm not even going to go any further on that. I'm going to go to number three. Number three is distress tolerance. Distress tolerance. Most approaches to mental health treatment focus on changing distressing events and circumstances. They've paid little attention to accepting, finding meaning for, and tolerating distress. This task has generally been tackled by religious and spiritual communities and leaders. Dialectical behavior therapy emphasizes learning to bear pain skillfully. Wow. Distress tolerance skills constitute a natural development from mindfulness skills. They have to do with the ability to accept in a non-evaluative and non-judgmental fashion both oneself and the current situation. Although the stance advocated here is a non-judgmental one, this does not mean that it is one of approval. Acceptance of reality is not approval of reality. Let me say that again. Acceptance of reality is not approval of reality, which means that we don't have to like something to accept it as reality. That's huge. And there's something I'm going to read that goes with that in a few minutes. Distress tolerance behaviors are concerned with tolerating and surviving crises and with accepting life as it is in the moment. Four sets of crisis survival strategies are taught: distracting, self-soothing, improving the moment, and thinking of pros and cons. Acceptance skills include radical acceptance, turning the mind toward acceptance, and willingness versus willfulness. And I think that's really important too. I have used the heck out of those distress tolerance skills, like distracting. You know, one of the things, if I get my mind on something that's got me upset, I am, again, I'll go back to the pit bull analogy. You know, they can get a grip on something and you can pull your guts out and they do not let go. You know, they've got their teeth locked into that baby and they are not going to let it go. And, you know, sometimes if something hits one of my hot buttons tight enough, I can be like that. You know, I can be like that sometimes and not let it go. And I need to distract. Distract is something that's very helpful for me. And sometimes that might be like you, going in and doing some music therapy, or like Sarah, going out and taking some pictures. But what I've got to do is interrupt, because at that moment, my mind is working. For those of you old enough to remember LP records, you'd get a stick in the record, and it would keep playing the thing, and you'd have to go.
Yeah.
Remember, you'd go over and tap the needle a little bit, and then it would keep playing the song. And that's the way distraction as a tool works for me, is that I have to just get up, physically move my body, move my mind to something that is going to get it off of where it's stuck. And then a lot of times, then I can come back with a cleaner head and rethink the position, rethink my position without, you know, that same ferocity that I had going into it. So it kind of does some damage control for me to distract. Self-soothing is doing things that are good for ourselves. I was getting a lot of physical therapy for a chronic pain condition I have, and some acupuncture, and of course they were throwing drugs at it for a while, and one of the things I do now instead of a lot of those things is go and get a massage. I get body work done, and that's something that, you know, when I took a pretty sharp turn in my career and my income, I felt guilty in the beginning for doing stuff like that for me, because of course that's not covered by insurance. Sitting around and doing physical therapy is. And so I had to come to realize that I was worth it, that the physical therapy wasn't helping, but the body work did help for a couple days. And it was a self-soothing behavior that helped, again, like the candle and all of the other things we talked about in mindfulness. It helped me to work some of that distress out by helping me to relax. So I think that's important. And they talk about acceptance there. And I just had it in my hand. And I'll be happy to send any of you this, but this is something that I have, well, I used to have it on my bathroom mirror and on a plaque hanging in my bedroom and a couple other places, because I really believed that to accept something, you had to like it. You know, for you to come to acceptance, you had to come to like something, and I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. Accepting reality does not mean we have to like it. And in fact, a lot of times we don't. But it just means we have to accept it. And then I read this on acceptance. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. And so I read that raw in the beginning because it wasn't an easy concept in coming. And I'm going to read the last one, then I'm going to let all of you callers on. I appreciate your patience on this. We've got about 10 minutes left in the live hour, which gets me through the four modules of dialectic behavior therapy, gives people the basics of it. We'll do a quick commercial break. I'll let everybody on. Number four is emotion regulation. And they talk about borderline and suicidal individuals. Now, again, I'll tell you that this whole program was developed for people with borderline personality disorder, but it's been adapted to many other disciplines, including TBI, which I'm going to tell you in a second, and I hope more so. We also know that there have been a lot of people who have even talked about it on the show who have had self-harming or suicidal ideation in back of their trauma until they were able to get some help. So emotion regulation says borderline and suicidal individuals are emotionally intense and labile, frequently angry, intensely frustrated, depressed, and anxious. This suggests that borderline clients might benefit from help in learning to regulate their emotions. Dialectic behavior therapy skills for emotion regulation include identifying and labeling emotions, identifying obstacles to changing emotions, reducing vulnerability to emotion mind, and we'll talk about that another day, increasing positive emotional events, increasing mindfulness to current emotions, taking opposite action, applying distress tolerance techniques. So, again, those are the four basic modules of dialectic behavior therapy, DBT, mindfulness, interpersonal effectiveness, tolerance, and emotion regulation. So if you can find a place that offers this type of therapy, I behoove you to check it out. There's no set amount of time, but I guarantee you that there are tools that you will learn. And by the way, one of the props that they have in this program is something called a diary card. And this card gets filled out and it lists the skills that they teach you in each one of these modules on the diary card, and you're able to look at that card and mark each day of the week, put a check mark by any of those skills that you've used, and so it helps you to be to keep you aware of these skills and to keep you practicing them by being accountable because of the diary cards. So those are very helpful. If you Google dialectic behavior therapy, you'll see that there's a workbook. There's a dialectic skills workbook, but I don't recommend that you do that on your own. Certainly buy it and take a look at it, but our perception can get tainted and not be clear, because we're filtering everything through our own perceptions. And when you do work like this, it's very helpful to have somebody who can find their butt with both hands, some kind of a professional. Not saying that you aren't, saying there's a lot of professionals out there that aren't is what I meant. But find somebody who's familiar with the program and work with them on it, and I think you'll benefit the most out of that. Last, I did only had a second before I got on the show, but I looked at dialectic behavior therapy and brain trauma, and I found an article on livestrong.com, and I'll type it in after I let you guys off the mic, but it's called Dialectical Behavior Therapy Basics and Brain Injury. Dialectic Behavioral Therapy, or DBT, is used for individuals struggling with emotional instability, DBT was originally developed to treat people with borderline personality disorder, but can also be effective in treating people struggling with substance abuse, things like I said before. The National Institute of Mental Health indicates that certain brain mechanisms underlying the impulsivity, mood instability, and negative emotions are responsible for these maladaptive behaviors. Brain trauma connection. According to the Bridge of Central Massachusetts, a private nonprofit human service agency, brain-related trauma or discrepancies increase a person's vulnerability to intolerance of emotions and subsequent rejection by outsiders. The National Institute of Mental Health further explains that the portion of the brain known as the, help me out, AMYGDALA, amygdala, which normally regulates arousal and emotions, may be involved in the disruption of normal emotional responses due to injury. Now, that's all they had to say. This article was written in 2010. It was the closest, one of the closest to the top, where they actually talk about using DBT to treat PTSD and brain trauma-related circumstances. But certainly, I think it's worthy. Bring it to your counselors. Bringing it to your psychologist, if you go to one, your psychiatrist, your care facility, wherever it is that you're getting your help, I would suggest that you have them look into DBT, educate themselves on it, because as a healthcare provider, I think that these are good things to provide, which are tools people can walk away with that aren't all chemical. And so, which is not to say that some people don't need chemicals, but most of us need a variety of treatment tools to help us get through life, and this is one of those. And I'm sorry, callers, I am going to let all of you on and unmute you. We do have just 5 minutes left, so as I unmute you, Keith Anthony, you're on, 714. You're on. Who do we have on 714?
Lisa.
Lisa, you came back.
I have been. I was doing my dishes and listening to you guys on the radio, and also at that time trying to figure out how to get into chat, and I don't know what I did. I think I joined like some start your own radio blog, or I kind of gave up on that, so I figured I would just call in meanwhile while I was doing dishes and doing laundry. But by the way, hello, Les.
Hello, how are you,
Kim,
doing?
Great,
you were probably
you.
Very close when you hit the create your own chat. That's probably part of very nearby where you were supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't know. So I just kind of was like, okay, when I have time to sit down and actually do it instead of, you know, trying to listen to you guys doing the dishes, doing the laundry. I figure, I'll just call in and it's easier.
And that's practicing mindfulness. So I am going to undo Laura for a minute, too. Laura is new tonight. Lisa was new last night. I am going to roll into overtime in just a couple of minutes. In fact, they just told me that I am. So for any of you that want to stay who have called in, please stay and we'll continue the conversation. Otherwise, if you have to go, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I hope you were able to take something away from the program that will help you. We want to remember to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, attorney at law. That's tbi.com. If you have any legal issues that you need to discuss in back of your TBI, check him out. Otherwise, remember our show is an archive. I'm going to end the show in my usual way, and that's with something that I believe we all have. This is by Leah West. I encourage you to check her out, leahwest.com. And this is Guardian Angel. And we'll be back on the other side of 51 seconds. Thanks, everybody. Blessings.
God. won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you. Quietly hoping and praying, everyone is home. With a guardian angel, on her wings she'll let you soar higher than you thought was possible. She'll love you.
Okay, that brings us to the other side of the hour. We're now officially in overtime. Remember, this is still recorded, but our live listeners have dropped off. What we hear here is available in the archive programs, which are done shortly after we get off the
program. And you can download them and save them on your PC, too.
Yes, you can download them and save them on your PC if you know how to do that, or you can just listen to them either way. So, any impressions? I did, Keith Anthony, you're open, and you guys all have an open mic that had your hand up. So, you kind of inspired me last night when you Googled it to get out all of my past homework, Keith Anthony, about DBT. And so I decided to do the program on that tonight. So I appreciate you looking at it last night. That site that you looked at, they were basically just talking about one part, you know, the mindfulness part, which is the first part of a four-part module. But I did look through that. That is a really good site. But then I went ahead and pulled out. Thank you, Mary. Thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate it. And any of our live listeners are not that you're all not live listeners. Okay, never mind. Anybody who needs to drop off at this point, thank you so much for coming, and I really appreciate it. Good night, Mary. In any case, Keith Anthony and Lisa, because of your call last night and some of the things that transpired in that call, and then Keith Anthony looking up the DBT, I decided to pull out all my old homework tonight and do a little review and crash course myself. So I hope that, Lisa, you can take this to the facility that your significant other is in and tell them to look up DBT, the therapist, psychologist, whoever that kind of person is who's coming.
Got that checked on my checklist. Already done. I did that this afternoon.
Good for you.
They're looking into that for me. So
great.
And also, I did Keith Anthony. I was massaging his arm, and I did it a little harder. And I kind of was trying to test, you know, where he was tender and what pressure to apply. And I kind of found it and was kind of just talking to him and massaging his arm. And he actually asked me to do it more after I kind of stopped doing it. He's like, massage my arm, massage it more. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I
that's
think,
really
you know.
Good.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Yeah,
and
I
also
imagine.
Kim.
Go sorry?
Ahead. I was going to say, when I heard when I was in between trying to do the chat, it closed out on me, but I kind of heard you saying something about yoga. And it's funny you mentioned that because I work at a yoga studio, and that is one of the things that has kept me balanced is doing the yoga. And you're speaking of mindfulness. It's really helped me with dealing with a lot of, you know, things in my life, stress, tragedies, just different things, and it's very helpful.
It is, and I'm really glad to hear you say that, because when
yeah.
we were talking last night about you having support, you know, the importance of you having support, the fact that you're connected to a discipline like that already is wonderful. You know,
it is great.
It's just wonderful, you know, for your body, you know, to work the kinks out, to quiet your mind, to be in touch with your breath, and practicing the mindfulness. That's just wonderful. So you do have a start anyway, a help, a tool
mm-hmm.
towards buoying you through this difficult time. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's really important to keep a balance between, you know, you got to make sure you take time for yourself. You got to make sure you take time with family, friends, and then also, you know, the person that has a TBI that, you know, you're caring for. That's all important to kind of have a balance. Because if
right.
you concentrate on one thing, it just, you know, you lose that balance. And that's where things get rough.
Exactly right. So has your, before the TBI, had he ever done yoga with you?
No. And actually, I started doing yoga as soon as that happened. Before, I was just, you know, I was just very physical. I did walking, running, mm-hmm. just, you know, any kind of exercise. But a friend of mine, and this is also my part-time job, so I found this job shortly after his brain injury, and it has been so helpful to me.
Wow. Now, to me, that's one of those, I call them God things. You know, the timing
mm-hmm.
couldn't have been better, you know, that
yes.
at a time that you needed something just like that, that it was put in your path, and the time, you know, the timeliness of it. We hear a lot of things like that about impeccable timing or divine timing, I guess I would call it, from survivors on this show, and that's always really cool to hear. So maybe that'll motivate me to get back to it.
Yeah, well, I truly believe that, like you said, you know, God brings things into our lives for, you know, when we need it. And, you know, sometimes we may recognize it. Exactly. Sometimes people realize it, sometimes they don't, and, you know, we take that for granted.
Right, and that was one of the things we were talking about last night is, you know, and also, you know, with anyone, you know, your significant other or anyone else, you can lead a horse to water, you know, but you can't make them drink. You can have all the tools in the kingdom laid at your feet to help. I mean, a recovery process is never easy. It's always full of challenges, but, you know, you do have to bend down and pick up the tools and use them. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's a whole nother thing. Finding the resources is one thing we talk about a lot on the show, because it's real hard to find resources sometimes and in a lot of states. But then actually using the resources once you found them, you know, that's the other nut to crack.
Yeah. I just, you know, that's why I'm glad I'm just, I mean, I, you know, we can't tell the future, but I'm just looking into, you know, tools that are, you know, that he'll have available. And like you said, you can't lead a horse, or you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But I'm just making it available to him, and, you know, and hoping that he will utilize these tools.
I thought it was great you said tools, because I was thinking of a toolkit when you said that, and I was fixing to mention it, because you want to build a toolkit for both of you. The tools
uh-huh.
for the rest of his life, for the rest of your life, that you'll need to help you both cope with what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is, you might want to close your eyes at times and just visualize literally having a toolbox. You might actually go buy a toolbox and put in the toolbox what you feel will help you. Or get on your computer, create a virtual toolbox. Okay, he needs some advocacy here. I need some mindfulness, or I need some advocacy myself, or just different things. Maybe
mm-hmm.
I just need
That's
some
a great
time
idea.
To go shopping and just get my mind completely off of this terrible thing that's happened. And it really does help to do something like that. I hope you'll just literally create your toolbox. If you have to go to Sears and buy a red Craftsman toolbox or to some store where they've got them cheaper or whatever, go get you one and start putting it, build it in your mind wherever you do it. And that's what I did when I went to Walton Rehabilitation. I created a toolbox in my mind. I didn't buy the actual toolbox, but I brought in the tools every time I went back. Okay, I want you to talk about your toolkit today. And at first it's like, toolkit, what? Because my memory is sometimes short, very short term. I said, I've got my toolkit, And it begins to become part of your memory. And it can be just, to thine own self be true. I can't talk. To thine own self be true, saying something like that. Remember to be true to yourself during rough times. I don't want to take too much time, but just things, little things like that become big things when you're going through tragedies. But even though it's not necessarily a tragedy, it's a life lesson, it's a learning skill. And we're talking to people who've been through these ropes in the boxing ring of life, but we keep getting back up. And that's what we want to see happen for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that.
Okay.
The toolbox, I like that idea.
maybe in the next few days or week or so, you can build your toolbox and just think about it. And if you feel like it, describe it. If you don't want to, you don't have to, just give people like, because you might give someone else an idea. Pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea, too. I like the toolbox. That's very practical, and I use the word tools a lot, but I'm more of a warrior. I prefer to call it arrows in my quiver.
Okay. That's cool. You're scaring me. Help.
Make him make quiver.
I like to have the visualization of pulling that tool out, that arrow out, and lining it up and pulling back the bow and right at the problem.
Hungry Like the Wolf comes to mind.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I didn't survive to be passive.
Visualizing is a very good thing to do, Kim.
Yes, I know. I helped get that reinforced by you. In fact, we were kind of looking for you because I was talking about you a lot at the beginning of the show. And when our new caller called in, because in mindfulness, I was talking about a lot of different ways to do mindfulness, and I talked a lot about you and creative visualization and self-hypnosis, and that a lot of times, especially in the beginning, when you've got that static brain, cluttered mind, and you can't get there on your own, you need the help of someone else to guide you to that place. And so I was talking about you and your show and your techniques,
yes,
and listening to some,
yes,
of your shows on archive.
You just defined hypnosis for us. Well done. That's what we do. We're just guides. People think that the hypnotist takes over and takes control of your mind, but we don't do that at all. What we do is to show you how to take control of your own mind.
Yeah, and I still just do it better following you. And I think, again, that goes back to the practice, just like it does in yoga or with any of these tools or arrows or whatever.
Yep.
You know, you seldom get it on the first shot. You know, you have to practice to get some level of mastery. And mastery is another word that they use a lot in DBT. And I think I have relied on you in person doing these things and haven't gotten to the point where I independently do that. I still do it on my own with the candle, but the guided imagery, I still find it works better for me when I'm actually tracking with you.
Yeah. Didn't I send you a recording of me, Kim, my thoughts, a while back for you to listen to?
Well, I didn't get it. I'm not sure what email you sent it to, but I didn't get it.
I sent it four or five times, and you were telling me you didn't get it. Maybe I'll try again.
That'd be good. But in any case, for the audience, I would recommend that you go back. Keith Anthony is on every other Saturday night. And do you want to even tell about your site or where people can go just to check out your, like, your YouTubes and stuff?
Yeah, sure. Well, you can go to my show. I'm on Brain Injury Radio every second, fourth, and fifth Saturday of the month. Occasionally there is a fifth Saturday in the month, and so I do that. And I will be doing a show on the 26th of January, interviewing a friend of Oprah Winfrey. So I'm really excited about that, because I'm happy to call her a friend of mine as well. And she's a fabulous lady who's had a near-death experience, just like me. So we have a lot in common, and that's going to be an exciting show. You can find my YouTube channel very easily, and that's at KeithAnthony0169. So go to youtube.com/KeithAnthony0169. You can find my Facebook by going to KeithAnthony.Taylor. So it's facebook.com/KeithAnthony.Taylor. But when you spell Keith, it's KIEthAnthony. And that's my Facebook channel. You can email me if you want to. am I going too far?
No, not at all. Go ahead.
Email me at KeithAnthony@UWClub.net. That's Uniform Whiskey Charlie Lima Uniform Bravo.net. KeithAnthony@UWClub.net. If you put something sensible in the subject line so I know that you're not spam, that would help as well, like hypnosis or something like that. And you can also telephone me. And if you call me from a landline, I'm in the UK, that means it's going to be an international call. But if you call me from a landline and give me your number, I will immediately phone you back and I pay for the call. And my telephone number is +44 208 664 9595. And I'll give you a 15-minute assessment completely free. And anything else we do together comes with a no-quibble money-back guarantee. So I'm the only hypnotist I know of who guarantees my work. I'm that confident that I can help you, that I guarantee my work. And if it doesn't work, then I'm happy to give you your money back or give you another session and take as long as it takes. So I think that's a very unique guarantee.
Yep, you can also Skype him too, but I would suggest checking out the YouTube and some of those past shows just to get a flavor, or listening to the future shows and just getting a flavor for that self-hypnosis, the guided imagery. His voice is easy to track and follow, and both Les Paul and I have had really good experience.
For sure.
Funny experience, a couple of us, but good experience in using that tool. But it's just, we'd have to carry them around in our pocket all the time.
Well, you don't need to, because if you go to my last show, which is in the archive, just scroll down the page until you see my last show. It's quite easy because it's not too long ago.
Oh, good.
My last show, I do a hypnotic induction to get people relaxed and get them focused on new goals for 2013. Do you remember that, Kim?
Yeah, I do. I liked that relaxation one better, the one that made Les Paul drop his phone and made me wake up with my headset
Previous show. That might even have been Frank's show. Actually, I can't remember. Might have been Frank's show that I did.
I don't know, but
I don't remember, because the show vanished in my mind. I remember hearing the telephone hit the floor.
I was going to say, Lisa, he did a relaxation visualization.
You're lucky you didn't do what I did earlier on, because I was here in time for the show, and I was intending to come on, but just before I did come on, I found that I'd gone to sleep, and I had this microphone wedged up my left nostril. Not what I planned at all.
That's so funny. And that's what's happened to, yeah, to both of us. I woke up that night at 3 in the morning with my headset all over, cockeyed on my head. And
it's 10 to 5 in the morning here, and I'm getting tired. Cause I haven't been to bed now for about 2 or 3 days because of my nutcase neighbor above me. And so I've been awake for an awful long time, so it's not surprising that I dozed off when I was just getting ready to hit the send button and come into Skype here.
I think you need some noise-suppressing headphones.
I don't need noise-suppressing headphones. I need a shotgun.
Well, that's
and then there's that, talking about arrows in your quiver.
Back to that.
Perhaps you're a warrior, too.
Yes. Oh, my God.
That's funny. Well, they finally finished cleaning up Times Square, I think. You'll be happy to know.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yes.
What a mess, I'm sure.
He was watching that. It was really entertaining him for quite a while.
On it, yeah.
He was watching it all night.
Yes. It amazes me that people spend so much money on a spectacular like that, and millions of pounds of fireworks, when there are people sleeping in shop doorways underneath it all. I just don't understand it. People have got their priorities wrong, in my view. I think we should be looking after the people in the shop doorways. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to see the new year in? Instead of spending millions of pounds on fireworks, we all came together in Times Square and went around looking for the people huddled in shop doorways to make them
that
feel
would be
better.
Beautiful.
Wouldn't that be different?
That would be very different, because at this point they're just stepping over those people to get a good view of the fireworks.
Yes, we're probably kicking them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, and they got that going on in Big Ben, too. I'm glad to see Steve out in the chat room tonight. Steven hasn't been around for a little while, been having some problems with his head and neck, and I'm hoping he'll be able to tell us. He was going for a big test today. I think maybe it was an MRI. I just remember reading it on the board earlier, and he said if he got home, he'd join us on the show, and I see he has, so I hope his test...
He can't hear us then, can he? Unless he's on the phone.
Oh, I guess you're right.
He'll be listening to a recorded show right now, probably.
Holy crow.
Are you still with us, Lisa?
I'm still here, yeah. In fact, I was getting ready to leave here. I'm going to go visit Kurt for about 20 minutes and come home and get some good sleep and start my day off tomorrow.
How is the arm doing? Is it straightening on its own at all with you massaging it?
He just had it slightly bent when I was massaging it.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, I didn't try to move it or anything. I was just massaging it.
I'm very worried because I've had a lot of problems with my arms, and I know what that feels like. And if his arm is curling up like that, that means that the muscles are under stress all the time, and he may be getting a lot of pain in those muscles, and perhaps he hasn't been able to verbalize it or doesn't want to tell you. And so that's why he wants you to massage it, because he's got perhaps a lot of discomfort in those muscles, especially if they're doing to him what you said they were, and forcibly straightening it, which I don't think is a good idea. And I would resist that kind of treatment. It's barbaric. It's ridiculous, I believe. And I don't believe it will do him any good.
So, I said that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Did you speak to him at all about any of the things we said and talk to him about visualizing recovery?
Not quite. He was a little agitated when I was there. He first was emotional. And then, I tried to get him through the emotional part. And then I talked to him about his arm. And, he was really liking that.
Yeah.
And I kind of put pressure on it. And I said, is this all right? And he's, I just tried to find a good pressure for him, and I was doing that. And mm-hmm. as I was talking, I just kind of, you know, stopped massaging, and then he says, you know, keep massaging my arm. So, and then I talked to his brother today, or his brother actually texted me probably about an hour ago. He was over there visiting, and I said, you know, do me a favor. I said, just kind of, you know, massage Kirk's arm. I said, kind of lightly, I said, and just kind of test to see, you know, where, what's a good pressure. And I said, just, you know, kind of without him knowing, just kind of talk to him and, you know, and just keep, you know, massaging it. So,
Did you use any oil?
No.
Some oil might make it better for you and for him.
Yeah, I think so too. The scent might be appealing as well as the lubrication.
We have to be careful of perfume though, because people with TBIs can be hypersensitive, and what smells nice to some people can become appalling to someone who's had a TBI.
And don't forget to find his best music.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. His playlist. I play his playlist to him that's on the iPad, so.
So backing up just a minute, you didn't say anything specific, but did you mention listening to the radio show? Not necessarily anything specific you heard on it.
What I told him was I had heard some information, and I just wanted to, you know, talk to him about it and, you know, and kind of work with him on, you know, different areas of his injury.
Good. So he does know, I mean, you said before he was aware of the radio show and just kind of spaced through it one night, but you did let him know that you listened again, so you brought that resource up to him again, which is good. Sometimes, you know, people, you need to bring information by the, what I call the drip method. You know, you don't, you know, bring the computer, plug it in, and make someone listen to it that moment, but by mentioning it a few times and maybe just in casual conversation. You know, I was listening to that Brain radio show last night, and they were talking about, and then mentioned something that you found interesting to you, you know, not about him, but just like a suggestion you heard, and you kind of sprinkle a few of those in, not too obvious here and there, and it might pique his interest.
That's right.
Okay, thank you for that tip.
Yeah, you're welcome. We'll have a good visit tonight.
Okay.
And sometime hopefully we'll know him and be able to talk to him too.
That's right. I hope so too. Well, you have a great night.
All right.
Drive careful.
Thank you so very much. All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye,
Thanks for
Lisa.
Coming back, Lisa.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I watched that movie you suggested after the show yesterday, Kim, The Music Never Stops, I think it was called, wasn't it?
Oh, that when I was talking? Okay.
Yeah, I started downloading it when you mentioned it.
That was Paul, not me.
Okay.
What did you think about it?
It was very good. It was a bit predictable. I guessed that the father was going to be dying, and that was the last time we were going to see him as he walked towards that door.
Did you get to see any of the, at the end of it, it's got trailers, and not trailers, it's got some extra segments where it tells about Oliver Sacks and his studies on brain injury and music therapy?
No, I don't think I saw that.
I've actually got a DVD of it, and it's got extra footage that is really important. There's a movie also called The Last Hippie that is another thing that he wrote the storyline to.
Uh-huh, The Last Hippie.
Yes, and it's based on some of his studies on music therapy. And he also wrote a book that's called, I can't think of it as I went to say the name, Hallucinations, just recently in the past few months came out. He's world-renowned. Everybody thinks he's super, super fantastic. And, Kim, I know we're winding down to the last couple of minutes.
Are we? Where are we? It's almost 11. So
is that right
if I made a 90-minute show, then how much overtime would we have?
Well, you get an hour overtime with a one-hour show.
Maybe you have 30 more minutes then. I'm not sure. I forgot you did an hour and a half.
Well, I just did it. And it doesn't matter. We can wind it down. We don't have to continue. Sarah said last night, can the shows ever end early? And I was like, yeah. All we have to do is make a decision. It's funny. I keep seeing Stephen typing, but then I don't see any words come up. And when you said that about him not being able to hear, I just asked him if he could hear, but you're right, I'm not sure how he could. There's only Keith Anthony and Les Paul and me on the switchboard. So, and there's still a guest in the chat room.
Who is it saying we're still talking?
I said, Stephen,
okay.
Are you able to hear the show? We're still talking.
Oh, I see now, yes.
And see, he keeps, there, thank you. What I have is post-traumatic osteoarthritis from the neck to the hips due to the impact of the helicopter crash.
Ooh.
I am actually twice my age inside my bone structure. Shows it my side. Doctor tells me I am a Christmas miracle.
Wow.
Jeez.
I don't even know how to respond to that. Other than, yes, you are definitely a Christmas miracle.
What's a Christmas miracle?
Definitely a miracle, but can they help you? Just a thought. He must not be able to hear. I guess he was just typing. And then I don't know who guest 16738 is. They're not typing, but they apparently can't hear. So why would they be sitting there?
I have no idea. I see it.
Watching the exciting chat. Oh, I like that. Wow, you put in there. Keith Anthony, you know all these graphics.
Oh, I see that.
It's only a smiley. I just put a smiley down and put two W's.
Yeah, I see that.
I know, but it reminds me of those other things. No, I cannot hear the show at this time. Oh, okay. We were winding up soon anyway. Must not have been. You know, I think a lot of people don't get the logged in thing.
One thing I was thinking about, the lady that logged off a minute ago, I forgot her name.
Lisa?
Is since you can download this onto your computer, you could probably download it onto an iPod or iPad also, like if they wanted to hear it in the hospital or something at some point.
Yes.
And that's one thing I was thinking about. That's why I mentioned you can download
it. Oh, yeah.
So you can actually, and Craig wanted it to be that way. That's why he actually went with the next up package. So we could always download and own our own shows and give them to whoever we feel needs them, because somebody might listen to this 20 years from now and still get help from
any
of these shows.
Can anybody, I don't know how they'd know the difference except that we'd be logging in, but anybody, see, when we're logging in as Craig, and he's paying to own his shows, and he's letting our shows be our shows. But as far as Blog Talk Radio goes, we're all Craig. We're all logging in as Craig. Can just anybody really download those
that
shows?
That was my thinking.
Anybody
just
can.
Us?
That's standard on Blog Talk Radio, even for free channels.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can if you have your own free channel, Kim, you can download your own shows.
Well, I did, but it didn't give the option like it does on, like when you look at
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, when you look at the program page of Brain Injury Radio, there's a little thing under it that says, download this show. It's not on there on the free half-hour show. So I think my free half-hour shows, that's why every now and again I'll do one, because they keep them out there. You know, they're all still out there from the summer. They haven't deleted me. That was nice that I did a couple around Christmas, so they knew I was still alive and hadn't left the switchboard forever at Blog Talk Radio.
I've not done a show on mine for years. but it's still there.
Is it?
My last show even gets listeners.
Well, Kim told me about hers, and I went to it, and I couldn't download them either. I tried. You remember
yeah.
you told me about it, Kim? And
I tried
every which way I could.
It doesn't give you the option on that program page. I kind of wondered because the whole reason was I wasn't necessarily wanting to keep my shows except a gal I told you about who was one of the first that I ran into on Blog Talk Radio. She's got an eclectic kind of show. She's got like people who not read your fortunes, but empaths and whatever all those people are. Anyway, she got into a problem with trolls, and it got to be a really bad thing. I don't understand the whole story because I was gone and I had started coming over here and supporting our host. I used to be on her show several nights a week, not on it, but just a listener and type in the chat room because she's got a really great group of people that are there. There's usually 25 people every night this girl's got a show by herself, 7 nights a week. And
okay.
been doing it for a couple of years, and so she's got quite a following that is there in the chat room all the time, and they're real nice people, and a few of them have friended me on Facebook and this and that. Well, okay. anyway, she had a terrible problem with trolls, and Craig warned me that the more popular we get, the more problem we're going to have with that sort of thing and need
to... He told
to,
me that too, yes.
Yeah, need to learn to deal with it. Now, I was a little lost and confused because I know how to just mute someone or hang up on them if they're out of line, but he was telling me about, like, going to that bigger chat screen that goes over my studio if I do it, and you do something like... You hit a moderator button, and then if they've typed something naughty into the chat room, you're able to erase it, apparently.
Okay.
And I hadn't thought of that. I had just thought of people calling in, making prank phone calls, and just figuring you can stick them on mute and leave them there, you know, write down the number, troll, or whatever, underneath the
yeah.
number, and then each time it calls, you just... don't pick up, you know, or leave them on mute or hang up or do whatever
okay,
you're going to do. But I had never thought of somebody typing in naughty things and needing to remedy that. Anyway, Chris got in a thing where this guy was almost like a stalker, and he was actually doing mean things to her and coming in and being disruptive in her chat. And but she wound up getting in trouble. Now, I don't know exactly what happened that he started this by everyone's account, but I don't know what she did to get in trouble with Blog Talk Radio, but they took her off the air and threatened, they took all her shows off the board. Now, they still had them, but if you went in to find one of her shows, they were gone. And the whole time I've been doing this, I thought, well, what do I care? You know, it's fun while I do it. You know, while I'm doing it, but I never thought of the shows ever being gone. I just figured they were out there forever. And when I saw how quickly they pulled all her shows when they suspended her, they were still taking her money, you know, every month, but they
yeah.
suspended her while pending them, quote unquote, looking into the situation. Well, it got into the holidays and they never got back to her. And so she started hosting. She's got other friends that are frequenters. It'd be like if you let me, like if you were doing a show every night of the week and you let me do it one night a week,
mm-hmm.
you know, she found arrangements like that where she was continuing to do shows but couldn't do her own show, and her shows were all hidden. And that's when I got kind of interested in what you were saying, because she was talking about like something like 600 and some episodes, which even if you weren't going to, whatever you were going to do, that's a lot of time and energy.
That's a lot of time and energy, and there ought to be a way for her to keep it.
Well, at the $40 a month level, you can't do that either. It's
yeah.
not until you get into that few hundred bucks a month that it gives the option of you doing that. Now, knowing her, if she would have known they were going to do it. Like now that they have given her, I noticed her shows came back up, so they must have resolved something.
Okay.
Knowing her, I'm betting she might know a way to get at least some of those shows off, even though you're not supposed to be able to at the $40 a month deal. But she's pretty savvy when it comes to that kind of stuff, so I wouldn't doubt she wouldn't be able to figure something out. But the whole thing that happened to her just got me thinking, you know, it's nice that we have that option, and I probably should download some of these shows and put them in a file somewhere.
You did, maybe, or maybe buy a portable hard drive. I'm trying to say what you call the little one I've got. I've got one that holds 1 terabyte, which is a lot of memory. I paid like $99 for it, and you could store every one of them on that if you didn't want them all on your computer.
Is that like an external hard drive?
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. And I've got a little one. I mean, it's small. I talked about the karaoke songs that I've got and that the other lady and my friend has.
Mm-hmm.
I've got something like 30,000 karaoke songs on that thing, and it's not even a third of the way full.
Wow.
It'll hold a lot of information.
Well, I'll have to get one of those or something and at least keep some of the shows that I like the best. I'd like to, not that I could ever do anything about it, but, you know, it's funny when you think about it. Keith Anthony, you've been at it for a long time, but, you know, up until when I wrote the book last year, I only had one thing on my resume. That was 25 years of being a financial consultant. So if I would have walked into a radio station, I would have had nothing, you know. And now I've got a lot of logged hours.
I've got a way to download your shows, Kim.
You do?
I do. I've been having a look at it and doing all the ways I could think of, and I've discovered that if you have on your computer Net Video Hunter, then anything that you play on your screen, you'll be able to download. Have you heard of Net Video Hunter?
I don't know what that is myself.
No, but I'll write it down.
It's a piece of software, and it puts an icon up on your toolbar on the left, you know, on your browser at the top left there, and if you play an audio file or a video, anything at all, then you can click on the button for Net Video Hunter, and it shows you a list of all the media that's been on the computer, and then you can download them.
No
so
kidding.
I'm looking at it myself right now. It says
just gone to
download virtually anything.
I've gone to my show at Blog Talk Radio, and I've looked and I've played. You have to play your show, and I've done that, and it's available for download too. It's 6.45 megabytes if I was to download this half an hour show of mine.
God, that's cool. I'll have to go back and listen to some. I mean, I was so green. I was learning as I went. So some of those early shows were probably a disaster, and I've never heard any of my own shows. I can barely show up for my shows, let alone listen to them in archive. But still, when that happened to Chris, I thought, that is a lot of hours, you know, of time.
And you found it, Les Paul, have you?
Yes, I've got it on screen right now.
So you're going to download it?
It says Net Video Hunter, download videos and music of almost any type.
Yes, it's very good.
And they just let you download that program for free?
Yes.
Wow, cool. I'll have to do it when I'm on my big girl computer. I don't want to do it on my radio computer, but although...
I'll send you the link.
It's a Mozilla Firefox add-on.
I'll give you the link, because I've got that here.
Thanks. I did write it down, but I'll probably lose a piece of paper, so that's good. No, I would like to do that. Ever since I heard her story, and man, she was really upset about it. She's taken it real seriously, and I just got to thinking, you know, it is something important, you know, we've been doing. It'd be nice to have them if Blog Talk Radio decided that they were going off the air or leaving town and just blanked off the whole deal. All of our
we don't know the future. Something like that could happen in the future, and
yeah,
nice to have them backed up.
No kidding. Well, no kidding. And then I wonder if Craig has talked about selling those, any of those shows, you know, as, because didn't he say, and isn't there something on the page somewhere that says that these are available as podcasts on iTunes or something?
I think they are available on iTunes, yes, and I think the iTunes probably sells them, I would imagine. They don't do things for nothing, do they?
Well, no, but I mean, somebody would be making the money. The person who's putting them out there, like, my book is on iTunes, and they keep a percentage, but I get the rest. So somebody, you set the price, unless he's giving away podcasts, which is possible, I guess, but they wouldn't be making any money off of them at iTunes. The agreement,
yes,
at least for books, is you set your own price and they keep a percent.
Everything we create on Blog Talk belongs to Blog Talk.
Except that because Craig is now paying at the level he's paying, he owns his shows. So he can sell them if he wants to.
Yes. Can you see that link, Kim, I've put there for you?
I've got it already installing it.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you put it? I walked away
it's
from
in the
it.
Chat box.
It says restart your computer now. So.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You might not want to restart it yet.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm going to do it on my big computer in the other room, but
yeah.
I'm writing down the link. I'll do it in the morning. I'm worthless at this tonight. I also don't want it on my little radio computer.
Yeah.
I'd rather put it on my big one. I can just...
Yeah, I'm at my main one right now. That's why.
I can play shows continually while I'm away and let the dogs listen to them. Okay, you guys, there's a little background noise in case you're going to have any separation anxiety. You can just listen to show after show after show while they're being stored. Well, I don't know, today, so how was it back at work today, Les Paul?
Oh, I forgot to tell you about that. I was late for work a little bit on my first day back in about 9 days, I believe. I don't even remember if it was 9 or 10 days. We really had a long vacation. I was glad to be back. But I forgot something and couldn't find my keys. And I said, oh, my goodness, I'm messing up. I'm going to have to be late. And it was actually very good to be back. A lot of the other people were saying, wow, I can't believe we're back at work. it felt kind of odd after being gone that long. I really don't like being gone that long. As much as I was glad to have the vacation, I'd prefer it to be two smaller ones instead of one that long.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that did that. My husband had taken off, you know, Christmas to New Year's kind of a thing, and because they were on odd days, he had quite a bit of time off, so today was his first day back at work, and then I went to my therapist, who I hadn't seen in a couple of weeks, and maybe 3 weeks or something, and she had just gotten back from like 11 days off. Her head wasn't in the game. That was a wasted however much the insurance company paid, but...
Okay.
And I was just back to normal meetings. It's still hard for me to want to leave when it's cold, but it's nice. The only thing I could say, since I don't make resolutions, is just that from October on this year, there was one challenge after another that turned my routine upside down, and that going into starting today, I wanted to get my routine back, you know, where it's been prior to October, because I just felt a lot better.
Well, one thing I did do during my time off, I didn't even think about this. I spent a lot of time on my computer when I could, searching up all kinds of brain injury related websites and liking them and becoming friends with them and emailing a lot of them.
And really?
When I looked today, I didn't realize it, but it was over 200 of them I had contacted, and I didn't realize it. I started getting emails back, and
you're kidding.
I'm not joking. I started.
I didn't
telling
know there all, were that many.
If I was contacting brain injury associations not just in the United States, but different brain injury organizations around the world. But I contacted,
wow,
I don't know about every state's brain injury association or alliance. Sometimes it's called an alliance. Sometimes it's an association. Association is what they want it to be. An alliance is when they're working to become an association. And so, I mean, I became friends with the Brain Injury Association of Delaware and Washington, D.C., not D.C., Washington State, all kinds of different ones. And then I would look up some of the people there, and I would leave messages about what we're doing. And it wouldn't be about me. It'd be about all of us. I would say, my name is Les Paul Morgan. I'm involved with Brain Injury Radio, which is we have 7 hosts with 7 shows. Come check us out. And I spent a lot of time doing that over the past several days.
God, that was really nice of you, and good for you. That'll probably really help our exposure and our ratings.
I hope it helps all the shows out, because I did it sometimes for 5 hours and without stopping, and other than to eat or something or get something to drink, because I just got thinking, you know, this is such a wonderful blessing for every one of us to be able to work with Craig and to work together like this. I don't want to let it ever risk falling down. I want it to grow bigger and better each and every time we get a chance.
Yeah, I think that's just great that you did that. I can't believe how much you did.
I went on Facebook. I went on YouTube. I went on one that's called LinkedIn.
That's,
yeah,
a professional place. That's
yes,
a really good one. And what did you do there, Les Paul?
Where? Which one?
On all of them.
He sent
I would send a message saying I would like to tell you about Brain Injury Radio, a wonderful program that has been in existence for a little over 2 years, started by Craig Cecilia, and I would kind of type it a little different each time. My name is Les Paul. We have Keith Anthony. We have both of you. We have all these different hosts, and we're on 7 nights a week. Come check any of our shows out. Check my show out. I would type it a little different each time. I think each one of us should try doing that because every post you put out there is a mark that you've left on the internet where cookies will track you and help find you.
Right.
And I had on LinkedIn, I must have had 100 contacts in the past few days. I meant to tell that, and I forgot to tell you that. They started coming in over the past 2 days.
God, how do you keep track? I stopped at Facebook. I must have slept through, or it was too old through Facebook or MySpace or whatever the heck it was, and I picked it up for Facebook, and I never went on to Twitter. I've gotten about 1 million invitations to LinkedIn and a couple other things.
Well,
but
Twitter is better than I ever thought. I was on Twitter for a long time doing it, and it took me forever to even get my password straightened out on Twitter. I must have tried 100 times, and finally something happened, and I did it right, finally. And
wow.
When I finally did it, I said, okay, I'm staying here. I don't want to give up until I'm through. And I sat there when it was sun time. The sun was up. The time was early. And I looked forward. My little dog came in the room like, will you please come play with me? And I looked, and it was dark outside.
Good Lord.
And I said, oh, my goodness. I think I've turned into an old man in here on the computer. How long have I been here? I could barely get up.
Your little dog's so cute. He's got those bat ears. He's got to be part. There's only like 2 varieties of dogs that have bat ears, and a Frenchie, like my one dog, Benny, he has bat ears, and there's like 1 other variety of dog that has those.
His ears.
I've sent you a link in the chat box there that will help you to promote your shows.
Oh, okay, I see it right now.
That's a page I found at Blog Talk with some very useful information there. That tells you how to write your show description better and how to write your show title better.
Oh.
So you get higher rankings in the search engine.
Okay, well, see, if we do things like that together,
mm-hmm,
we will build it up. And I know one thing It's amazing how Craig was able to do all this so much on his own, but that had to be a lot of work for one person to get it. I know he works with other people and things, but for him to have the vision to get it started, now that we're together on it, more people are seeing it because it's on much more, and we're here to help propel the whole thing forward, and that's what I was trying to do. I said, you know, I've got this time off. I'm going to put some time down and really use it to see what I can do to help out all of us out. But just if you put a post on Facebook and just type a little article about Brain Injury Radio, people will find it on there, and it suddenly becomes a point of finding new things. Or if you post it on someone else's website, Brain Injury Radio, and do a real short thing, and you type the name of the article you posted, you'll find it again. And that'll lead other people to it that accidentally find it.
Yeah, I've been doing that on Facebook. I do it on my Anna Flash site, then I do it on Brain Injury Radio Network, then I do it on TBI Thrivers, I do it on Team High Level, I do it on 3 aneurysm pages, aneurysm survivors and caregivers and something else. So I do quite a few on Facebook, and then it's mentioned on my website in my blog, and I have a tab that says radio. So whenever I direct anybody to my website, it's not only for the book, but I've got a whole tab that's radio. That tells about the Blog Talk Radio show, and then I wrote a blog about it. I haven't been good about writing blogs. It takes me half a day. That's why I don't think I could do add Twitter and LinkedIn. It takes me a whole half a morning to answer the Facebook stuff. So I don't know.
I'm slow too. I really am. I went to LinkedIn right now just to see how many I actually made friends with. Let's see if it tells anywhere.
Are they people that are different than you met on Facebook?
Yes, a lot of them, but I see some of the same people I've met on Facebook.
Well, the only reason I say that is I wouldn't want to join another couple organizations to just have a duplication of the same people. It'd be too much work for me.
It's not
given
just
the choice,
that.
Kim, between Facebook and LinkedIn, you would go to LinkedIn because it's a professional. They're all professional people,
yeah.
or should be, and it's not about going there to play games. It's about getting linked with other business people.
You remember?
Well, my only problem with that is, I mean, in the past, for 25 years, I was a financial consultant. I would know what to say on LinkedIn. I don't know what I am. I guess it's kind of held me back from LinkedIn. Who am I supposed to be now?
Well,
yourself.
Be yourself. Be natural. And that's
but you said it's professional, and it is. It's professional. People do it to network professionally. And
yes.
I knew how to do that in my old arena.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that happened that made me feel kind of funny, but I did it anyway. One person said, "You liked my site. I don't know you. Why did you do that? I don't understand." And they sent me back another message saying, "You liked my site, but there's no validation, so therefore I don't understand why you did it." And I'm thinking, okay, well, just be that way. Just the only one person that did that out of everybody that I've done so far. I'm right now looking at it, and I've got
how weird. Isn't that the whole objective, is that people will like your site? Why would somebody? What a dork.
Well,
okay, your site sucks.
103 connections.
I was told off earlier on Facebook by a friend because I put a link for my Croydon radio show. And, you know, I put that there thinking that that would be valuable for her because I knew that I was going to be playing some really nice music. And I thought she would appreciate that, so I put it on her timeline. And this is a friend, and this is a real-world friend, you know, someone that I've met face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a go at me about it. And yet you can put, if I put any tosh, any junk, any stupid picture on a timeline, she'd have loved it. But you put something of value on a timeline, and she went berserk.